702. The Political Desk.
It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock, and as you know, of course, at this time, we speak to a leading analyst, journalist, commentator about stories that you do need to pay attention to. And boy, oh boy, here's one that really is a big one, I think. No shares, no directorships, no consulting fees, no sponsorships, no pension, no benefits, no land. That is what Floyd Shivambu told Parliament about his sources of income. He only earns what you, the taxpayer, give him, his salary for being an MP. Now the investigative unit Amapungane says they've got new information that suggests otherwise. We're joined now by investigative journalist at Amapungane Center for Investigative Journalism, Susan Comrie. A very good morning to you, and as always, thank you for talking to us.
Hi, Bungani, of course.
So, did Floyd Shivambu lie?
Well, that's kind of the, perhaps not $1 million question, but $1 million question. I mean, we can see evidence from WhatsApp messages being exchanged with this businessman, Lawrence Mulaudzi, which certainly suggests that he was asking, that Shivambu was asking, for what he termed interventions. So, now, the context of the messages suggests that what he's asking for is money. In one instance, he provides bank details for his brother's company, Grand Azania, which you'll recall sort of featured quite prominently in the VBS saga. So can we look into his bank account and see exactly what went in there, what went into Grand Azania, how he benefited? No, not at this stage.
But again,
it suggests that he is benefiting in some way, and he's not disclosing that to the National Assembly and not disclosing it to us as the voting public.
But of course, it once again links transactions, it links deals that may be linked to Floyd Shivambu through Grand Azania.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the fascinating thing. We keep seeing, you know, the Daily Maverick, the Mail and Guardian, everyone keeps finding these pieces of the puzzle which suggest that company is really there to benefit him and perhaps not just exclusively his brother. So, you know, as you've said, VBS, we think that around 6.2 million rand from VBS flowed through another company and into Grand Azania. Now, is one of the most important members of the National Assembly benefiting from that money and not disclosing that? I think that's a question that we need to carry on digging into. But it certainly at this stage looks like there is a problem there.
At the center of your new revelations is the name Lawrence Mulaudzi. Now, tell me who he is and how does he explain these demands or requests for interventions?
Well, if anyone's been following the Impati Commission, which is looking into allegations of corruption at the PIC, the name Lawrence Mulaudzi will be very familiar to you. He is a businessman. He seems to have kind of risen to prominence by being funded by the PIC. And in exchange, you know, you have these instances of him kind of making these promises of money, paying money across on the request of Dan Majila. So he's kind of a fascinating character there within the PIC. Now, you remember as well that VBS is another PIC-funded company. So these all these kind of strange cross-currents. In terms of what he says about those payments, he wouldn't say anything to us. All he would say is that he has a long-standing relationship with Floyd Shivambu. But it's interesting that when the Mail and Guardian had asked him, because they had obtained one of the messages that we had, when they had asked him about that message, about the Grand Azania bank account in last year, he had said to them, this is a consulting agreement, and I make payments to them on a regular basis. Now, we asked him that again. He wasn't willing to disclose any more information to us.
So what direct information do you have, Susan, that Floyd Shivambu was specifically the one involved in all of this?
Well, I mean, we can see, for instance, that he's the one who is asking for the interventions. He's not saying, my brother needs an intervention. He is saying, I am in great need. I need an intervention. So it's really clear that he is the individual and not this is a consulting contract that his brother is issuing out.
You've also got evidence that suggests that at times he became quite desperate, checking up and saying, you know, how far are we? Has the situation cleared? And being told at times he has to wait for monies that are in 32-day notice accounts?
Exactly. I mean, it's not clear there, you know, whether Mulaudzi was just stalling or what the situation was. But you do see this kind of constant checking up, you know, it hasn't arrived yet, all of these sort of these things. I mean, what's interesting as well is that you also see him participating in a way in these business dealings that Mulazi has. And we can see, for instance, that Shivambu was willing to make phone calls on Mulazi's behalf. We can also see them discussing, going to meet an asset manager. Now, you know, unfortunately, we can't sort of put out all the information we have about that, but it certainly looks like, the deputy president of the EFF is kind of moonlighting in these other business ventures. And, you know, as I said, he didn't disclose this to Parliament. We need to know when he goes into different portfolio committees, when he goes before Parliament, we need to know whose interests he's serving. And that's really the key thing for us and why we felt it was important to put the information out there.
Of course, yeah, it's not just about the money in terms of facilitating business deals and meetings. It's also the idea of using his political position for influence. Talk to me about what you describe the messages saying are the Red Boys and the assistance that was needed there in terms of quelling protests, for example.
That's a very interesting one. I mean, we could see a message that went between Lawrence Mulaudi and his business partner, where his business partner was flagging a series of protests which were happening at that point at a platinum mine in Limpopo. And he was saying to Mulaudi, look, we need the Red Boys to rein in one of the community protesters there. Now, I spoke to that community protester. He is an EFF member. He says he wasn't asked to write in the protest, but it certainly raises a lot of questions about the EFF's dealings in those mining communities. You'll recall that they have been very active in that area. They have, in 2015, I remember being at a very large protest march, which they led to the gates of Modikwe. They seem to have kind of taken a slightly different tune with those mining areas in Limpopo, saying, you know, this could be the next Gauteng. So it's interesting for us. It's certainly a kind of frontline issue for the EFF, mining communities and their rights. So when there is a suggestion that, at very least someone felt that they had bought that kind of influence, that they felt that they could say, look, you need to act for business and not for the communities. I think that's a question worth raising.
It's certainly a question worth raising because, as you say, in one of the incidents, a community protest involving a chrome mine, they're asked to let the Red Boys rein in some of the community leaders. It's a pretty extraordinary development. Susan Comrie, will leave it there. Investigative journalist at Amapungane Center for Investigative Journalism. The idea that, they can be termed the Red Boys and asked to quell protests that they themselves might have fueled is pretty, pretty extraordinary. We thought we'd bring it to your attention. That's this morning's Political Desk.